a wife who was sewing by the stove. By Zune tradition, she wore nothing but black. Granny would have thoroughly approved.
"What sort of helpful things?" he asked. "Washing and sweeping, yes, no?"
"If you like," said Esk. "Or distillation using the bifold or triple alembic, the making of varnishes, glazes, creams, zumchats and poons, the rendering of waxes, the manufacture of candles, the proper selection of seeds, roots and cuttings, and most preparations from the 80 marvellous herbs. I can spin, card, ret, fallow and weave on the hand, frame, harp and noble looms, and I can knit if people can start the wool on for me. I can read soil and rock, do carpentry up to the three-way mortise and tenon, predict weather by means of beast sign and sky wreck, make increase in bees, brew 5 types of mead, make dyes and mordants and pigments, including a fast blue. I can do most types of white smithing, mend boots, cure and fashion most leathers, and if you've got any goats, I can look after them. I like goats."
Amshat looked at her thoughtfully. She felt she was expected to continue.
"Granny never likes to see people sitting around doing nothing," she offered. "She always says a girl who is good with her hands will never want for a living," she added, by way of further explanation.
"Or her husband, I expect," nodded Amshat weakly.
"Actually, Granny has a lot to say about that."
"I bet she did," said Amshat.
He looked at the senior wife, who nodded almost imperceptibly.
"Very well," he said. "If you can make yourself useful, you can stay. And you can play a musical instrument?"
Esk returned his steady gaze, not batting an eyelid.
"Probably."
And so Esk, with the minimum of difficulty and only a little regret, left the Ramtops and their weather and joined the Zunes on their great trading journey down the Ankh. There were at least 30 barges, with at least one sprawling Zune family on each, and no two vessels appeared to be carrying the same cargo. Most of them were strung together, and the Zunes simply hauled on the cable and stepped onto the next deck if they fancied a bit of socialising. Esk set up home in the fleeces. It was warm, smelled slightly of Granny's cottage, and much more important, meant that she was undisturbed. She was getting a bit worried about magic. It was definitely getting out of control. She wasn't doing magic. It was just happening around her, and she sensed that people probably wouldn't be too happy if they knew. It meant that if she washed up, she had to clatter and splash at length to conceal the fact that the dishes were cleaning themselves. If she did some darning, she had to do it on some private part of the deck to conceal the fact that the edges of the hole ravelled themselves together as if by magic. Then she woke up on the second day of her voyage to find that several of the fleeces around the spot where she had hidden the staff had combed, carded, and spun themselves into neat skeins during the night. She put all thoughts of lighting fires out of her head. There were compensations, though. Every sluggish turn of the great brown river brought new scenes. There were dark stretches hemmed with deep forest, through which the barge travelled in the dead centre of the river with the men armed and the women below, except for Esk, who sat listening with interest to the snortings and sneezings that followed them through the bushes on the bank. There were stretches of farmland. There were several towns much larger than Ohulan. There were even some mountains, although they were old and flat and not young and frisky like her mountains. Not that she was homesick, exactly, but sometimes she felt like a boat herself, drifting on the edge of an infinite rope, but always attached to an anchor.
End of CD 3.